Okay, so it's great to see everybody. We started the Mishnayos of Yayin Nesach last night, so let me just give two brief introductory remarks. Number one is that when it comes to wine or grape products that have been handled by non-Jews, so we have to differentiate between three possible outcomes. One is completely prohibited. That is to say, prohibited in drinking, prohibited in benefit. There's an Isser Shisiya, there's an Isser Hana. The other is that it could be completely mutter if it's not really, there are all kinds of conditions and time involved in what kind of touching are we talking about, what kind of handling. We're going to see that in a second. And one of them could be straight down the middle, where we're going to say, we don't want you drinking that wine, but you could sell it, you could benefit from it, because it hasn't been fully made into Yayin Nesach. That's one introductory remark. The second introductory remark is in terms of when a Gentile will handle wine. So, and again, we're leaving this aside the discussion of Mevushal for now. It's a very important practical discussion because that can take away the status, the full status of Yayin. It has to be Ra'i Lenaseh Chal Gabi Mizbeach. So let's assume for our practical purposes, because we're used to using this expression, non-Mevushal wine, which some people think is a much higher quality of wine, whatever it might be. So when it comes to a non-Jew handling wine, we're always more concerned if the non-Jew has a proprietary sense. If the non-Jew thinks that it's under his ownership or it's close to under his ownership, then we're concerned that the handling is going to be much more a reflection of that bialos, and that's going to concern us much more halachically. So let's begin with the 10th Mishnah in the 4th chapter, apropos of that point. Goy, shenimtza omei betzad habor shel yayin, and remember the Mishnayos, even though we don't pass in this way, say that it's only roi to become yayin nesach once it's in the bor. We paskin once it's tchilas meshicha, once it starts to flow, but be that as it may, so they're standing next to the bor shel yayin, im yeshlo alav milveh aser, ein lo alav milveh mutter. So if this non-Jew has a lien on this wine, right, that it's actually collateralized to him, so, and he's going to be able to take it, so it's aser, because we assume that he's like sort of interested in the product that he's going to get next week or 2 weeks from now, and he's doing whatever people who know something about wine do, right? They sniff it, they handle it, they smell it, they, you know, twirl it around, whatever he saw on some kind of, you know, a television show. All of these things that people who don't know about wine, you know, they wouldn't do and they don't know how to do. So we're concerned because he has a proprietary sense. Now, it may not be the same person or it could be the same person. Let's say the person fell into the pit in front of the wine press and drowned to death, okay, which is an unhappy outcome whenever, you know, Masayadai Tovin Bayam, Masayadai Tovin Bayayin, Ve'atem Omrim Shira, it's no cause for a halal. Nafo Labor, but if he just fell in, again, I'm not the health commissioner. I'm not suggesting that it's a good idea. Maybe you can ask Dr. Resnick or Dr. Myers afterwards what they would think about consuming that wine from a health standpoint. But if his contact with the wine was that he drowned in the wine, okay, you know, that's a different story. So Navalabor La'alo Medalo Bekana, or he's a measuring stick from the sanitation company. Hiti says at Sira Bekana, or he's removing flies or whatever it is. Again, I'm not telling you that you have to be interested in, you know, this wine. Oshia mitapeach al pichavis mirutachas, or he was just touching the top of it while it was boiling. B'cholelo hayumaisa v'amru yimacher. Rabbi Shimon Mati, Rabbi Shimon says it's totally permissible. There's nothing wrong with it. Again, there's hardly more contact than being submerged in the wine, having drowned in it. But Rabbi Shimon says that's not the kind of handling that we're worried about. Remember, this is all gzeira that developed because, you know, we were concerned that they were offering libations, right? There's an interesting discussion. The Gemara, let's say he falls in and nearly drowns and then comes back up. He's rescued. So that for sure is aser, you know, because he would give hoda'ah to his God that he was saved in this place. So then it becomes stigmatized as a sort of a place of avodah zarah, which is an interesting thing. But again, the Tanakhama is suggesting that you could split it down the middle. We're not going to drink the wine because there was this contact, but it should be sold. It's not aser b'hanaya. Natal sachavis is raka labor. Let's say somebody gets angry. A lot of that in Masachas Avodah Zarah. People are throwing things around. They're constantly angry. So he throws a barrel into the wine. Zahaya ma'isa v'yichshira. They said that's not really contact at all because it wasn't direct contact. Again, I'm not advocating this kind of behavior. Those who go back, you know, you have to go back a few years beyond which Sammy goes back, but there was a great college basketball coach, Bobby Knight, and the final straw was when he threw a chair onto the court. You know, that was a big problem for him. So throwing barrels is not a good thing, but in the context of Yayin Nesach, it actually could be a kula, but don't try it at home. And so the next Mishnah says, let's say the Gentile realizes that there's a whole kosher market out there. The OU was on Jeopardy last night, okay? So there's a whole kosher market out there. So they hire a Jew to work for them to help avoid the process of Yayin Esef. So there are regulations that are involved. The Matar Yenu Shal Nachar, Vinosa Rishuso, Vibes HaBatuach, Rishus HaRabim, Beir Sheish Bagayim, V'Yisraelim Mutar. So once you produce the wine and the Jewish person has been around, mayor, much less of an issue in Israel, but definitely a very, very big issue here in America in terms of wine production, okay? So the wine has to be stored with two conditions. It can't be stored at a place which is closed off to the Rishus HaRabim. In modern day, of course, the presence of cameras can make that a little bit easier, but at times of the Mishnah, it had to be open to Rishus HaRabim, and there had to be Jews living around, because the non-Jewish owner realizes, right, if this wine, we lose our chain of custody over it, there goes all my money. I'm not going to make my money before Pesach, I'm not going to make my money for Shabbos, etc. So he's going to be very concerned, he's going to be very careful that nobody should handle this, and there's a mirsas factor, there's a fear factor that having Jews living in the town is. Be'ir shekulo goyim aser, ad sheyoshiv shomer. So you'd have to hire a shomer, you'd have to hire a guard, Jewish guard, to watch over the wine. Of course, if there's a lock and key, the Rambam talks about that being okay as well. If there's a security system, an alarm system would also work as well. And again, these are principles which are extractable to general issues of kashrus. Again, alarm systems can be used, locks and keys can be used to make sure that chains of custody are not broken. So as long as there's an unpredictable schedule, so it doesn't have to be what we would call, let's say in the world of general kashrus, a mashkiach tmidi, very expensive, right, to hire somebody to be there the whole time. But in this case, it could be a yotzei v'nechna, somebody coming in and out, as long as they're not doing it exactly on the same schedule. So that's going to create a mirsas factor to make sure that nobody's handling the wine, nobody's sort of getting involved with this. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Rishus Gayim Achasi. So the Gemara explains that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's point is that, getting back to what we said previously about, we're always more concerned if it's in a proprietary place. So let's say it's in the home of the non-Jew who owns it. We're always a little bit more concerned is, yeah, this is really mine. I'm going to start handling it. We're always worried about it. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says we have to be machmir because the entire Rishus of non-Jews is considered basically one Rishus, even if it's not in the home of the balabayas, so to speak, of the owner of this wine company, it's still going to be equally a problem. So again, in the modern day and age, the advances that we have just in terms of surveillance technologies, make things a little bit easier in this regard. You have cameras going on, and people know that the cameras, are recording things. You have alarms and the like. Though, you know, every time I bring this up with young people, you know, teenagers and the like, they're always reminding me, oh, but we can hack into those cameras and play things that didn't really happen anyway. So it's like, you know, I guess it's always a little bit of a cat and mouse game to figure out what's really going to be a sufficient shmir. I'll just conclude with the story. Apparently the wine wasn't too good, so the vineyard didn't last. But my when I was a rabbinic intern, this is the beginning of my Daf Yomi career, 2009, there was Lenin Gittin. One of the fellows in the Chevra Daf Yomi opened a vineyard. Okay, opened a vineyard. And, it's a very, very involved process. And I had asked him about some of these issues, like, you know, the personnel, right? Because, you know, he wanted to produce kosher wine. And he had gotten some big tip, which didn't pan out, that there was, like, a special climate for grape growing in Northern Virginia, whatever it was. So he started on this big venture, a lot of capital investments. Unfortunately, like I said, it didn't work out. But he was explaining to me the way that they can keep the chain of custody. Obviously, there are many, many workers there, the vast majority of whom were not Jewish, as you might imagine. And the way to keep the chains of custody such that the wine was never, in an unsupervised phase, a very, very complicated kind of an operation. So again, these are the kinds of things that if you want to go into the industry, it's very important to be aware of. If a regular restaurateur has to know that the costs of kashrus are very high in terms of mashkichim and the like. So kal v'chomer in the world of wine production, just how complicated it can be in the different stages to make sure that there's an adequate shmira to protect the wine and the kashrus there.